Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you'd already been listening, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you did, because Matt Cartwright is in the building. Matthew Cartwright Esquire is here. Matt is an attorney with the firm Munley, Munley & Cartwright out of the great state of Pennsylvania, the great city of Scranton, and he's our good friend. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jim, and congratulations on being number one on Google. I bet you're, that wasn't one of your life goals when you started out.
You know, when my mother brought me into the world, she looked at my dad and she said, one day he'll be number one on Google. Hey, Matt, and by the way, folks, another thing that I like about Matt is he's a fellow Rotarian. And he's a very active member of Rotary, and so that's another thing he and I have in common, and I admire him very much about. You know, speaking of Rotary, Rotary and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have gone to war over polio. And they've been getting a lot of press lately, as you may have seen. But what a lot of people don't know is decades before there was even a Bill and Melinda Foundation, Rotary had already declared war on polio, hadn't it?
Well, that's right. 1987 was when Rotary threw its full weight behind the campaign to stamp out polio. Polio has been dead in the United States for many years, but it's the rest of the world we're worried about, particularly the emerging nations. And it's always a struggle. You have to stamp out the last case of it before you can certify it as eradicated.
Well, polio, Rotary eradicated polio in the Western Hemisphere in the last 10 years.
That's right.
And there was one day, Matt, you probably remember when this happened. I wish I could have been there. I have a friend who was actually there. It was one day in India where they inoculated like I don't know, a couple of 3 million children in one day.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling. They have these NIDs, National Immunization Days, and they get as many as 70 or 80,000 volunteers. Many of them Rotarians, but a lot of other non-Rotarians. And they get out there, and they get all the kids to line up, give them two drops in the mouth, and they're inoculated. And they can get as many as 2 or 3 million kids a day in these countries.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
So just one of the reasons why, Matt, I'm proud not to just be a member of Rotary Club, but to be a Rotarian. I know you feel the same way.
I sure do. I was a district governor, and what a great way to get around and meet a lot of nice, caring people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last week, folks, Matt was here, and we talked about how if you're harmed in a situation where someone breaches a contract, there's some kind of fraud or whatever, and you're harmed, and it causes maybe a bigger company, a larger company that you have some business with, or whatever it might be, a bank maybe who doesn't fulfill what their promise or whatever. How do you prove that you actually had losses? How do you come up with that? And Matt, you talked to us about last time about how to make sure that you collect that information, how you verify it, and it's a tough, it's not an easy process, is it?
It's not, and you know, we always say if it was easy, anybody could do it.
Right.
But the challenge is, and it's kind of an academic exercise, isn't it? Because you're talking about what profits a little company might have made into the future if this wrongful, illegal conduct didn't put it out of business or otherwise crush the company. And you put together a business model, and you look at all of the ways it could grow and all the things that might retard its growth, and you put a reasonable projection together for what 4 or 5 years lost profits might have been. The law really doesn't allow much more than that because, as we talked about, if 10 years from now, anything could happen. We could all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one thing the law doesn't allow is speculation in proof of harm. So 4 or 5 years is pretty much the limit on what courts will let you do. And, you put a business model together, you get industry experts to look at the situation. Typically, a business school professor will help with putting a model together. And you show a jury what a reasonable projection of your losses were.
Based on comparables in the industry at that time. Now, that's what we talked about last week. That's just a little reminder, sort of setting up what we're going to talk about today, which is how do you defend against that? What's the other side of the table look like? What's it look like when you're on the other side looking back? And we're going to get Matt to help us with that. And that's on the other side of these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hello, Jim. This is Dave Noonan, author of Aesop and the CEO. Congratulations on 10 years of serving the small business nation. Aesop said, slow and steady wins the race, and you are living proof by bringing together the largest community of small business experts in the world. Keep up the great work.
All my friends in small town. Well, we're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Matt Cartwright, attorney at law. Partner in the firm Munley and Cartwright in Scranton, Pennsylvania, all across. Actually, you practice in 3 or 4 states, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, we go kind of up and down the East Coast. Just finished a case in South Carolina. We're like physicians anymore. We all have specialties and subspecialties, and that's kind of the way it goes.
That's an interesting analogy. We're like physicians. I don't think I've ever heard any physicians say we're like attorneys, though.
Wouldn't hear that.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. That was just too easy. hey, Matt, we're talking about how to – earlier we talked about how to prove losses if you're suing someone, you're a plaintiff, and you're suing someone for damages. But now we need to know how to defend against that. Is that what you're saying?
I am, and typically...
So we're the defendant now.
Right. Typically, I represent the small business in a case against a much bigger concern. But I see the defenses because these things are thrown at me. And some of them are pretty strong defenses. You have to think about them. You have to plan for them. You have to figure out what they are.
And not take them, not minimize them.
That's right. And I can run through some of them if you like.
Sure, I'd like that.
Well, the first thing you have to do is figure out if you have an accounting problem. If you're a small business, you may not have an entire full-staffed accounting department. And the first thing you need to figure out is, are your books kept according to generally accepted accounting principles? I may have to go and have the small businesses' books restated according to GAAP so that we're not overstating or understating what we've done in the past.
Because those are generally accepted standards.
That's right. So there may be an accounting problem you need to watch out for. You know that there's full discovery.
Why would that be a problem if I'm the defendant?
Oh, it's an opportunity for the defendant. Again, I'm always speaking from the
side. Okay,
so
you're saying this is what the defendant would do if I were the small business. This is what I can expect the defendant to come at me with.
Oh, sure. If you're a defendant in a case where a company's suing you and claiming that you ruined its business because of your conduct,
right.
One of the first things you'll do is have a CPA go through that small business's books and see if they're overstating something. See if they're claiming they've made X dollars in profit in the past,
mm-hmm.
would have continued to do so in the future. Maybe you can go back and prove that's baloney. They're overstating that profit, and therefore they're overstating what their losses are. But there are all sorts of other things. You know, we have full discovery in civil cases in this country, so that you can jump into their filing cabinet and figure out. Look at all their correspondence. You can find out. what their past history has been. Maybe they have a checkered past with their suppliers. Their customers.
Maybe there are other situations where they have performed the same way with other people, and maybe there was a lawsuit, maybe there wasn't, but maybe you could prove that they've been negligent before.
Right, but as a defendant, you're looking for ways to show that their damages are overstated or that they never really would have made it in business because they were bad business people. You can show dissatisfied former customers. You look through their correspondence files, look at their emails, look at complaints they've had from the Attorney General's office.
What about just some shoe leather work, going out in the marketplace and asking questions?
Absolutely.
Does that work?
Probably the most important reason to do that is to talk to the competition. I mean, competition is one of the biggest reasons a small business isn't going to be a smashing success. You're looking for all of the ways to prove that they wouldn't have made those profits they're claiming they would have made. It goes the whole spectrum: competition, general economic conditions, weather events, strikes, lawsuits with other companies, fights with employees, any kind of legal trouble that they've had. And those are things that you can find out about, mistakes that you know about. There are other mistakes that maybe you don't know about and that an industry expert can tell you. Well, look at
right.
here's how they're targeting their customers here, and that's all wrong because the economy is going the other way, the market's going in a completely different direction, and this company would have flopped in 3 years because they're set up wrong.
If I have other people who say things that would benefit me, I have to get those specific people who have this information to testify, right? You can't use anecdotal or hearsay. You got to get the person who knows who has the information to testify.
Well, that's right. First-hand information, that's the cardinal rule of evidence in any court case.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what you do. If you're defending one of these cases, look to certainly why they don't deserve anything, but why they wouldn't have made the success they're claiming they would have made had not the wrongful conduct occurred on the part of the defendant.
Right. And, folks, this information could be you can use this information that Matt's giving you even if you're the plaintiff to prepare for what the defendant is going to come at you with.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, otherwise or if you're the defendant, if you're the defendant, what you got to protect yourself with. When we come back, I want to go back to the very beginning of a transaction like this. What do the contracts look like? And that could be where the ugly truth is. And we're going to get Matt to help us with that right after these messages. This is a very important component. Tintail, stay with us.
I'm so happy.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use them to your advantage. So hope you will do that. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Matt Cartwright is our guest. Matt, give us your website, please.
Sure. It's munley.com, www.munley.com.
This is not your grandfather's attorney's website, folks, so check that out and use it. Go check it out and see what's going on over there. And your book is coming out sometime in the next year, so this book that I've been beating you up about, finally, see, you had no idea, Matt, that I knew that there was a book in your future when I was telling you about these things. How many years? 2-3 years now I've been saying, when's your book coming out?
Yes, everyone eventually comes around to realize they have to surrender and submit to Jim Blasingame's will.
But what did I say? I also said I'll help you with it, didn't I? I'm not just a troublemaker. I want to be part of the solution. So I'll be glad to help you with it. You know, folks, we're talking about how to get yourself, how to defend yourself in the case you've been wronged in a contract, and also how to defend yourself. If you're the plaintiff or the defendant, we've been talking about those things. But you know, Matt, there's some things that we can do in the very beginning when everybody loves each other to make sure that to minimize the potential for problems, and that's in the initial documents, the contracts, right?
Well, that's right. You know, a lot of kill the company cases arise from tortious conduct that doesn't arise from a breach of contract, but a lot of it does. A lot of these cases I handle where companies got put out of business could have been avoided because it is a breach of contract that caused the harm, and a lot of times it's a breach of a verbal contract. Verbal contracts are binding, but they're mm-hmm. harder to prove.
What would a verbal contract sound like?
Well, I'm gonna do some work around your house. I'm gonna repave your driveway, and I'm gonna do it for $1,500.
And I say, but my daughter's having a wedding. We're having my daughter's wedding here in 6 weeks, and I say, don't worry, you can count on me.
Right. So the contract is it's gonna be $1,500, and you're gonna do it on time. And then you don't do it on time, and you charge me $2,800. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lawsuit there, and it's a lawsuit for breach of contract, and it's based on a verbal promise. Well, that's a hard lawsuit. Why? Because a jury's going to be sitting in the box going, well, okay, prove to me that you really had these conversations, and how come you didn't get it in writing? So that right there, I mean, I wish I had a nickel for every time I said, get it in writing. It doesn't matter how friendly you are with the person you're trading with.
Yep.
Just say, look, this is for both of our protection. Mm-hmm. Let's get it in writing.
That's one of the biggest things I see small business owners do. And Matt, I don't want to sound holier than thou here. I've been guilty of this too. Small business owners have a tendency not to get things in writing. We don't always like the paperwork all that much, and that's one of the fatal mistakes that we get ourselves into.
Yeah, you think about the reasons why people don't get things in writing. A lot of times, I think maybe people think, well, I'm going to insult him. You know, I'm getting a great deal here already, and why do I want to push my luck and have put it in writing? Well, look, the guy isn't giving you a great deal. He's getting something out of the deal too, and if he's making you the promise, if he intends to abide by the promise, he'll put it in writing.
I built a house once, and I had a carpenter who just had a crew, and he made certain things. I told him what I wanted to do, and he said, okay, I'll do that, and this is what I'll do it for. And I said, okay. Will you sign a contract to that? He said, well, yeah, what do you mean? I don't have a contract. And I promise I did this. I opened up a number 10 sack, a brown grocery sack, and we wrote out what he said on that contract, and we both signed on that sheet of paper, on that sack, and we both signed it.
Right. Well, you should keep those sacks handy.
Four months later, I had to pull it out and hold him to something.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Well, another thing that's to tell people, if you're reticent about having them put things in writing, is look, particularly if you're dealing with a bigger company. Say, look, you might not be around. One of us might not be around. Let's get it in writing so our successors can honor it.
Well said. Well done. Hey, Matt, thank you for being here. Good job today and last week as well, as always.
You're welcome.
Matt Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.